Well, I don't have very many notes on this chapter this evening, and I will tell you since I had COVID, at least the last week, you know, I had asthma as a kid, and it feels like it came back. It's like tightness in my chest and stuff like that. So tonight it's kind of acting up a little bit, and so anyway, we'll see how long this lasts, but I say that and then end up preaching for an hour, so who knows? Yeah, right. I guess you just have to say it when you get in the pulpit. It's like you have to qualify. Yeah. I know it's a preacher thing, and there is sort of a sense, you know, when you're up here and you're preaching, like you have the pulpit and you can kind of say anything, and so you don't want to impose yourself necessarily on people. You want to preach the Bible, but you don't want to be you know, just take advantage of the situation where you just like, you know, hey, I can talk and you can't, so I'm going to tell you something. So you kind of apologize, you know, hey, it's not going to take long or whatever, but and then you're all disappointed because it took too long and whatever. So anyway, Genesis chapter 24, this is Isaac marrying Rebecca, and really the marriage is at the end of the chapter. The whole thing is about finding Rebecca. Genesis chapter 24. So there's a few things in here about, real practical things about choosing a spouse. There's practical things in here, some typology in here, but you're transitioning in this chapter in Genesis. Sarah died in chapter 23. Abraham's going to die in chapter 25, and so now the Lord explains a little bit else of what else is going on in the family with now Isaac and how he's going to start his family. And so Genesis chapter 24, I'll read a few verses here. Verse 1 says, "And Abraham was old, well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac." Let's pray, and we're going to talk about that whole event that happens in this chapter. Father, I pray that you'd help us this evening. I thank you for each soul that's here, and thank you for your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for good services this morning. Thank you for good service in the nursing home, and I really pray that the folks were blessed. They seemed to be blessed by what was going on, and we were blessed by it as well, and so I pray that we could be encouraged over there. I pray this evening that you'd help us get out of this chapter what we need to get out of it, this long chapter, and some practical stuff in it. But thank you again for giving us your words and helping us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, a couple of thoughts right off the bat here. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter. It's almost 70 verses, but I'll give you kind of a rundown, kind of like I did this morning with Samuel. Abraham tells Eliezer. Eliezer is the same Eliezer from early on in Genesis, where Abraham and Sarah said they don't have, Abraham said he doesn't have an heir, and the only one in his household was this Eliezer of Damascus. This is the same Eliezer. And he's a very trusted man, apparently. He's a good servant. And when I say servant, he's not a slave of Abraham. He's an employee of Abraham. He works for Abraham. And he's a very trusted man. And he must be really trusted because Abraham sends him out to find a wife for Isaac. And that's no small decision. And so Eliezer is a pretty upstanding, and he's got some character to him. He's trustworthy. And there's a few qualifications that Abraham has, but all through this chapter you'll see that what really qualifies Rebekah and what goes into the decision of marriage here. The first thing I want you to notice, Abraham said it and we read it. Abraham said, I don't want you to choose from this culture. I want you to choose a wife for Isaac from this culture. The place we're living is not good. And the people here it's not good what's going on here. And so you need to go back to our country and find a wife from my home country. And I read this chapter and I thought, you know, all of this goes on while Isaac is not really, he's not even really looking for a wife. Maybe he is, it doesn't say that, but he's tending to really the promised land and the land that Abraham and Sarah are living on. And so you find out in this chapter, you realize Isaac's wife is found while Isaac is tending to the promises of God. That's kind of an interesting and a good thought. His wife is found while he's tending to the promises of God. And so Abraham sends out Eliezer. One of the stipulations is she can't be a part of this culture. Don't be, and that goes to the truth that you know as well, don't be unequally yoked. Unequally yoked. That's the problem, and that becomes a problem. But Abraham has some parameters. Go find a wife that's in my home country, and there you'll find, if you find somebody, and Eliezer asked that sort of an obvious question. He says, what if she doesn't want to come back with me? And then Abraham says, well, if she doesn't want to come back, then she's not obligated. You're not obligated to bring her back. If you find somebody who is of the character and has the qualifications that we're looking for in a wife for Isaac, then and she doesn't want to follow you back here, then you know you're relieved of this duty. You don't have to. There's nothing you can do really. But so Abraham sends out Eliezer with those parameters, and the principle is don't be unequally yoked, and she must be willing to come with you. And so Eliezer goes down there, and he's an interesting guy, and it's so neat how it works out. But he goes down there, and in verse 10, the Bible says, the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. So Eliezer has oversight of everything Abraham has. So he is trusted. And the Bible says he went into Mesopotamia under the city of Nahor, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by the well of the water at the time of evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me a good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down the pitcher, thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant, Isaac. and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. So Eliezer says simply, he goes over to drink and he finds where the ladies draw water in the evening. And he says, if I find somebody that offers me water and then offers the camels water, then that's the sign. And it's like this, that you say, what's the sign of she's marriage material, or he's marriage material? Well, one of the signs is good character. That's a sign. And that's what Eliezer is looking for, somebody who's humble, someone who's of good character. And so that's who he's looking for. And I love verse 15. It came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. So Eliezer's praying this prayer, and while he's praying, Rebekah shows up. And she does, you don't have to read it, but everything Eliezer asks for, that's exactly what Rebekah does. She offers water to him, and notices he's brought 10 camels with him, and she says, well, let me give your camels something to drink too, and I won't leave until they're full. And so she gives Eliezer something to drink, she gives the camel something to drink, and Eliezer's just, wow, this is exactly what we're looking for. This is exactly what I'm looking for. And so verse 27, he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth, I being in the way. That's a good thought. You got to be there. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. That's a couple of things you could probably make more comments on. Being in the way, meaning you got to be there, and it's not just, well, the Lord's just going to drop it in my lap, but it's you're going to have to make some effort for it. And so Eliezer's there, he prays, and there's a role of prayer in all this. And Rebekah shows up, does exactly what Eliezer's looking for, someone who's of character, hospitality, humility, just displays characteristics of a good lady. And Rebekah does that, and Eliezer is just, wow, praise the Lord, we found somebody, we found her. And verses 29 and so on, Rebekah has a brother named Laban. He'll show up later on in Genesis. He's not a great guy, but Rebekah's a good lady. And so Rebekah is found, and she agrees. Eliezer explains what he's doing and says, I'm looking for a wife for my master's son, and she's willing to go back. And so she says she's willing to go back, and so they both go back. And verse 35, the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, he's become great, hath given him flocks and herds and silver, gold, and manservants, maidservants, camels, asses, and Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. My master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. So he's explaining to Rebekah everything that he's doing, and Rebekah hears what he's doing, and she agrees. She says, yes, I will go back with you, and I will be a wife to Isaac. And so they go back. And so, I mean, that's a real simple explanation of everything that's going on in this chapter. The real practical things are you find some instructions in marriage. Abraham doesn't want anything to do with the culture that he's in, and says you can't find a wife in this culture for Isaac. There's not going to be somebody. Go back to my hometown and find a wife there. That's the principle of being unequally yoked, and that's in there. There's prayer. Eliezer prays and asks God to answer his prayer and make his trip fruitful, and it is. The Lord brings Rebekah along the way, and he says, I being in the way, he was there to meet Rebekah. And then, of course, Rebekah agrees to the whole thing. She agrees. Verse 61, Rebekah arose, and her damsels, they rode upon the camels, followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahai-roi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil, covered herself, and the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother's, Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So that's the chapter. There's a lot of things you could say in this chapter, but I'm just going to stick with those things about the issues of marriage. And because really it's a transition from, like I said, from Sarah's death. Now you're following Isaac and what's going to happen in his life and his family. And this is the marriage that happens here. In the next chapter, Abraham's going to die. And so you're going to follow Isaac's life a little bit. And really after that in Genesis, Jacob is going to take up a lot of the chapters. And then Joseph particularly is going to really cover a lot of ground at the end here. But it's a little transition chapter, tell you what's happening with Isaac. There's some principles there about marriage. Three of them to remember. Isaac's wife is found while Isaac is tending to the promises of God. And his wife is, there's the principle of not being unequally yoked. Abraham doesn't want a wife for Isaac out of the culture he's in. And the other thing is the role of prayer in the whole thing. And we could talk about Rebekah as a bride and all that kind of thing, but we're just going to stick with those few things tonight because I said it would be short, and that's what I'm going to do. We're just going to stick with that because I am running out of breath. And so let's pray, and we'll get out of here. Father, thank you so much for this time together. I pray that it's been helpful, very short, but an overview of this chapter. I pray that you'd help us with guidance, direction. Please continue to open doors. Lord, thank you for open door at the nursing home today. I pray that would stay open and we'd be able to continue to minister to the folks there and be a blessing as much as we can. I thank you for each soul that's here this evening. And really, I pray that you'd help us serve you, but you'd guide us. Everybody's got different roles in service. And that you'd guide us in how we can serve you and the way you want us to serve you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.